You know, not all churches have pastors that stay in one place. Many churches, and for many, many years, particularly the Methodist Church, enjoyed circuit riders. Many of you that are former Methodists, you all know what I'm talking about, and those of you who weren't, you have no clue. But basically, they would go from church to church on the back of a horse, carrying their pulpit with them. It's an amazing story of the will of God and the mission that drove that denomination. But not all churches have permanent pastors. Well, there's one small church out in the country that contracted with a young preacher. They thought that, you know, let him get a chance to kind of get out there and get his message across a little bit. So they employed him to come the following Sunday. He got into his car and he drove out into the countryside and he got lost. Couldn't find it. He asked a couple of different places. Finally, he stopped at a gas station and said, "Where is this church? It's a little white church. They want me to be there." And he said, "Oh, you know, I'm not really sure, but I think it's right down there. Go down this road and you'll see it on the left." And so he did. He went down the road, and sure enough, it took a little while to get there, but there's a little white church on the left-hand side. He pulled in. Sunday school was just letting out. Perfect timing. You notice how I start getting into a southern accent when I get these stories? I can't help it. I'll tell you, I lived in South Carolina 17 years, and I can sound like South Carolinian if I need to. Anyway, he gets out of the car. Sunday school is letting out. He goes in, and he starts to get ready for preaching, and he says hello to everybody, and they shake hands and all that, and he goes up into the pulpit, and he gives a great sermon, a great prayer. Everything is wonderful, and so he thinks things are going great, walks out, shakes hands, gets in his car, and goes home. It's great. But somewhere, the church he was supposed to be at was sitting there waiting for their preacher to show up because he was in the wrong church. Advent is like that for me. I every year, I find that I am surprised by Advent. I mean, we're so, you know, the way that the church year goes, school starts up, and then you've got stewardship campaigns and all of that. Then you've got Thanksgiving and all that goes with that. And then all of a sudden, bam, there's Advent. Every year, I'm never prepared for Advent. It just sort of sneaks in. It's sort of the wrong message at the wrong time. If you go to the malls, if you go to Home Depot, if you go anywhere, what do you see? It's like Christmas is here, right? Christmas songs on the radio. You know, there's a local radio station that plays nothing but Christmas songs. I don't know why. I mean, I love Christmas music, but for the next month to listen to nothing but Christmas music, please just shoot me. I can't do that, you know. It's hard. It's hard. Because Advent comes to us like that young preacher. We're not ready for it. It's the wrong time, the wrong person, the wrong message. Because Advent is not Christmas. In fact, I woke up this morning and I started thinking about it. You know, why do we do Advent now at the beginning of the Christmas season? We could do it in July. In fact, the story of John the Baptist, he's grown up. And Jesus is grown up. It's 30 years after the Christmas story that this takes place, when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus in the Jordan River. Just that's the next bit of scripture in our passage there. So it's like we took this great event, this great thing, and we plucked it out, and we moved it over, and we dropped it right here. But why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we take this story about preparation, the story about getting ready? In fact, I have a sermon entitled The Get Ready Man, and that's John the Baptist. Well, I think it's because it is a story about God breaking into our lives and doing it at unexpected times and unexpected places. When no one was expecting anything great would happen, John the Baptist showed up. And while it's true that the people of old were waiting for the Messiah, they were taken by surprise by John. After all, there had been not a single notable prophet in Israel for 300 years. And as the years wore on, their hope was beginning to fade. No word from God, silence for centuries. And then at an unexpected time and an unexpected place, John the Baptist burst on the scene, quoting from the Hebrew Bible, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight his path." Isn't that what it says in the front right here? Prepare the way of the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. There was great excitement about this among the people. As the news spread about John the Baptist, everybody had to go and see him. They see this man for themselves. They traveled out into the desert to find him. Quote, "And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him." He was an overnight sensation. He was a hit. Everything wonderful was about to happen. Everybody wanted to be a part of it. Often when we least expect anything to happen, God breaks through into our ordinary lives and makes things happen. So writer Sue Monk Kidd, in one of her books, recalls how when she was a child, she would prepare for Christmas. Early in December, she would sit by a beautiful wooden nativity set clustered under the Christmas tree, and think over the last year of her life. Did any of you do that for Thanksgiving? Did you list the things that you were thankful for just this past year? She would do that sort of thing. Just think about them. And then she would think deeply about Christmas and the coming of Jesus. And she remembers one time when she was visiting a monastery. It was a couple of weeks before Christmas. And as she passed one of the monks, she was outside. She greeted him. She said, "Merry Christmas." And the monk's response kind of caught her off guard, because he said, "May Christ be born in you. May Christ be born in you." And his words sounded strange to her, peculiar at the time. What did he mean? May Christ be born in you. At the time, she was unsure what it meant. But now, all these years later, sitting at the Christmas tree, she felt the impact of the words. For she discovered that Advent is a time of spiritual preparation. You don't hear anything else. Hear that. Advent. We're given this time, this period of time between now and the birth of Christ, for spiritual preparation. It's a time of transforming. It's a discovering of our soul and letting Christ be born from the waiting heart. An unlikely time, unlikely places, God breaks into your, my life. John the Baptist was out in the desert proclaiming the time was right for God to come. The long-awaited Messiah was there. The time was at hand. But that was only part of his message, because in the preparation of getting ready for Jesus, changes need to be made. See, the message of John, this is the most important thing about his ministry, was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's message was simple, and it was to the point. Change your ways, because the Messiah will be here soon. There was an urgency to his message. It was time to get ready. His message was so compelling that when people came out to hear him, they did repent. Even more amazing, they agreed to be baptized. You see, John was asking fellow Jews to do something that was not required. Only people that were generally baptized at that time were Gentiles. But he's asking rank and file Jewish people to be baptized, to repent of their sins. You see, I don't know about you, but I don't think we use the word repent very much, do you, in your regular conversations with No, you might say, "I repent buying that car," you know, because it's a terrible car or something. But we don't really talk about it much with our spiritual lives very much. But you see, repent means to turn your life around. It means to turn away from those things that take us away from God. The first step in preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ this Advent season, starting today, is to examine your life and make a new beginning. Now, the church has a motto. I love this motto, and we can weave it into everything that we go. It's on all of our letterheads. It's what is the First Presbyterian Church? It says this: First Presbyterian Church, connecting people to God. Now, the way that our leadership, our elders and deacons understand that, is that if it is something in our ministry, if there's something in our lives that connects people to God, we need to do it, and we need to do more of it. Need lots and lots of whatever it takes to connect people to God. But if it doesn't connect people to God, stop doing it. Just stop. You're wasting your time. Our purpose, our sole purpose, is to connect people with God. Now, there's so many ways for that to happen. So many ways for people to connect. So many ways for people to turn their lives into an understanding of God's presence in their lives that changes them. Connecting with God does that. Ian McLaren once told a wonderful story about Lachlan Campbell and his daughter, Dora. Dora left home, fell into the wrong kind of relationship. She began to misuse the gifts that God had given her and all that. Soon she did not respond to her father's letters at all, because she just found it too difficult to even communicate with him. But Maggie, Dora's aunt, wrote her a letter that melted her heart. And at the end of the letter, this is what Maggie wrote. Just, if God were to write this to you, listen to what he said. "Dora, your daddy is a grieving. Come home for your own sake. Come home for your dear daddy's sake. But Dora, come home most of all for the dear Lord's sake. Christmas is a time for coming home. John the Baptist's message was simple: repent, turn your life, turn it around, change your mind, change your world, examine your motives, because the Messiah will be here soon. The Messiah will be here soon. And this brings us to the third thing. Because you see, it really does come down to it's all about Jesus. It really is. I mean, all of that goes on, and I will challenge you. Please, if anybody does this, this is a challenge. I never thought about it, but here's the challenge. And all you're going to do in the next month, wherever you go, if you see, and it's not at a church, any image of Jesus Christ, please take a picture of it and send it to me, would you? Go to Home Depot and all the beautiful stuff they've got there. Nothing religious in any way. So just that's just a challenge. Because the reason for this whole experience really just comes down simply to Jesus. The people who streamed out into the desert to hear John wondered if John himself could be the long-awaited Messiah, but adamantly he said, no, 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 no. He was very clear about this, quote, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. John the Baptist was not the Messiah. Instead, he was just a forerunner who pointed the way to Jesus. There in the river, John told the people that he baptized them with water, but one day soon, someone would come that would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful story about a man who was searching for answers in his life, and he found a very wise man. He thought maybe this man could give him the answers he was searching for. So he was surprised to hear the man speak of a great blunder he himself had been guilty of. What great blunder have you made? The wise man told him of a moment when he replied. He said, I called myself a Christian, but I did not become Christ. This is kind of a strange answer to him. The younger man was confused. You did not become Christ. Is one supposed to become Christ? And the old man answered, I kept putting distance between myself and him. I kept deploring that distance. But he said, but I never realized I was the one creating it. But the seeker says, one is supposed to become Christ? No distance, the old man said. No distance. Advent is about overcoming that distance between God's heart and yours. Advent is a time of preparation for this wonderful celebration, and at the heart of that celebration is the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it was Christmas when Rex Pickett was stationed in Korea. He was a young Marine, a lieutenant. His wife and his baby daughter, whom he'd never seen the baby daughter, was home in the United States. And on Christmas morning, the thermometer hovered around zero, and several inches of snow covered the ground. Outdoor worship services were planned for that day. And although nobody was required to come to the services, he went out of respect and could, quote, set a good example for the younger men. Nearly 200 Marines turned out for that service. They sat on their helmets in the snow. They faced a small portable altar. The chaplains had no microphones, and the little portable organ they had was just barely adequate. Something happened, though, in that worship service. God broke through into his life. He thought of all that was precious to him. He thought of his home, his wife, his unseen infant child. And then that moment, as they tried to sing Christmas carols in the cold, he realized that Christmas doesn't depend on church activities. It doesn't depend on fine clothes, expensive meals, any of those kinds of things. Instead, he claimed, quote, Christmas is best celebrated as a voluntary act in which we replenish our personal faith in the company of others. Let me read that to you again, because it's powerful. It is a celebration, best celebrated as a voluntary act in which we replenish our personal faith in the company of others. Isn't that what you're here for today? Isn't that why you got up and got dressed and came in? To find your personal faith replenished in the presence of all of these other people? To feel the presence of God? To hear the music? To say the prayers? We must not forget that what Jesus is about is this season coming into your heart again. That is why we celebrate. Advent reminds us that God often breaks into our lives in unexpected ways and unexpected places. And at those times, we discover that we have to change the way that we are. We have to look at ourselves, realign ourselves with Jesus Christ. And amid all the confusion, we need to know and hear that voice of John the Baptist calling to you, to each and every one of you and to me, prepare the way of the Lord. It's just simply as that. Welcome to Advent. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so aware that there are multiple distractions this time of year, that it is easy for us to get the message confused. So we have this first Sunday of Advent and this strange character of John the Baptist to remind us that there is something so much deeper, so much more than we could ever be ready for. And yet, we're given this opportunity, 4 weeks, to hear the message, to sing and to hear the angels once again. So come into our hearts on this very first Sunday of Advent. Open our eyes. Help us to truly prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.